Breakfast with Aaron and Helen, 5 to 9 weekdays on Hope 103.2.
The Wiggles are touring the UK at the moment. It sounds like they're grabbing themselves quite a unique souvenir. You know, no teaspoons mugs for these guys. They've apparently put an eBay bid on the hat that Princess Beatrice wore to the royal wedding.
Yeah.
Fantastic beige kind of toilet seat inspired ornamental number.
It is Is it called the Fascinator? Is that that thing? Or is a Fascinator?
Fascinator's less than a hat. I would call that a hat.
Okay, on its own it's a hat. So you've got this tiny little hat that's sort of supporting a... There'd be some serious hairpins underneath that holding that on, I reckon.
I wonder if she had to wear a neck brace for 3 days after it.
Yeah.
I don't know. The Wiggles might have been wearing the skivvies for too long. It's cut off a little bit of blood to the brain.
Maybe.
Mm.
The thing is, it is going to good cause. So whoever does win, they're donating money to two charities.
Yeah, and UNICEF is one of them, which the Wiggles are ambassadors for. So
yeah, makes sense.
That's probably got a lot to do with it as well.
And Children in Crisis is the other one. So that's, you know, that's all right.
Yeah.
Good on Princess Beatrice doing that or being advised to whatever the case may be with all of that kind of stuff. But it's
her mum confiscated it and sold it so that her daughter would never be seen in it again. Maybe that's why. No, I love the Wiggles' suggestion about what they're going to do with it. They thought they might pass it on to Ricky Ponting the next time he wanders out on the pitch against the Poms, so he can have a bit of distraction for the bowler.
Yeah.
Mm.
Not very aerodynamic. You could catch a ball in it, I suppose, in one of the pockets.
Yeah, give it to the wicket keeper.
That's fun.
A much better idea.
Oh, look, there's so many options.
Yeah.
The Queen is visiting later this year as well.
You're so right. Give it to Julia to wear.
I think it'd be lovely for our Prime Minister to wear a hat. The Queen would be wearing a hat, no doubt, when she steps off the plane. Why not have this
creation? One does admire your headgear, Prime Minister Gillard. Hey, I don't know if I'm getting a bit paranoid in my old age, Aaron.
You're not old.
Thanks. I was home by myself last night.
Uh-huh.
Okay, wasn't evening anymore. Definitely night. Definitely crossed the line into night time.
What time?
It was after 7, before 8, somewhere around there.
Oh, you are
that's
getting
night.
Old. No, that's fair.
So I was already in my pyjamas and had my hot water bottle ready to go. No, knock at the door. I thought, housemates. Forgotten a key or something.
Mm-hmm.
Wandered over to the door. Who is it? Hear this male voice outside go, electricity.
Oh.
Said, sorry? Said, electricity? Didn't say a company name. Didn't identify himself. I'd had no advance warning this was coming. I just said, can you just come back another time? He was like, when would be convenient? I said, maybe daytime.
Maybe never?
Yeah.
Oh,
but didn't open the door. Not even with the chain on. Just thought, nah.
Yeah, no. It's... especially if it was someone trying to, you know, sell cheaper electricity for you and stuff.
Oh,
if it was that, okay. Still, that's a bit, I would say it's a bit deceptive starting a conversation with electricity.
Yeah.
Like, oh, man.
Well, I have started my breeding big hungry Alsatians program and I've ordered a taser gun online.
Like, oh, no. Oh, don't say that.
Good morning, Dr. Mike, our adopted vet. How are you?
Good morning to you guys on the... I'm a little bit bleary-eyed this morning, up early looking after the puppies. I've got to say that, I'm going to say the typical thing that parents say, they grow up so quickly.
Gee, that only a couple of weeks.
Yes, but the amazing thing is there's so many life lessons here. So since last week, they now can support themselves on four legs. So now they're sausages with legs. their eyes are open. They're wandering a little, and which means that the waste that they produce is now spread over a greater area.
Excellent.
And Miriam said that she heard for the first time the other day one of them give a feeble but determined bark.
Oh.
So just like, excuse me, lady, I'm not sure who you are, but you're on my territory. So, at the tender age of 2.5 weeks, they're already starting to get a little bit territorial, and at least one of them's got a bit of attitude. So
really?
Now, I did want to say that there have been some decisions. You know, the management team have come to some decisions on names.
Okay. All right. We've put all our suggestions forward. How'd we go?
Now, so one thing that we've learned is, you know, just with... we've had a number of litters of kittens and puppies over the years. And as time goes on, it's pretty easy to lose track of them. So we're going to get some strategy this time. This is going to be the A litter. And so all of the puppies will be, their name will begin with the letter A, and then naturally we'll just move through the alphabet. It's probably going to get a little bit trickier as we get towards the back end of the alphabet, but let's start with A. It's not as easy. And although there are a lot of votes in for Aaron, for the one boy in the litter, Aaron was a very, very popular contender. He ended up being Alpha. So we've got the Alpha male.
Oh, very cute.
And then the three girls. So the little black, beautiful little black girl is called Aniseed.
Okay. Yeah.
And then we've got Amber, who's the like the apricot-y coloured one. So again, some clever wordplay there from my wife.
Uh-huh.
And then I'm pretty sure 103.2 listener came up with the Angel. And so we've got a little white girl called Angel.
Aww. All right. Oh, we got a winner in there. Fantastic.
Yeah, absolutely. And so everyone's named, which means, you know, when they get in trouble, they're getting called on a first name basis, called out, and it's good to have all names.
Great.
So I was thinking today, you know, as we've been talking through, you know, Aaron and his predicament that's being a non-pet owning household. I think that could only be described as an awkward situation. You know, I thought, you know, it raises all sorts of issues, and there is one that's reasonably serious, and that's, if you don't have a pet in the house, how are we going to educate our kids about like a safe and proper way to approach other pets?
Oh, okay.
So that sort of came to mind this week, and I just had a couple of quick tips for Aaron. I mean, I think one really easy solution is just get a pet, and in fact, I know where there are some very beautiful poodle puppies looking for homes. A couple of quick things to think about. First thing that I've noticed amongst children is there is an incredible innate variation in their interest in pets. So you have some children who just seem to grow up loving them completely. And in fact, these are perhaps the harder children to handle because, you know, their affection for pets can sort of override common sense sometimes.
Sure. They go up to the stray neighbourhood pit bull and, oh, puppy, let me give you a hug.
Exactly right. At the other end of the spectrum, you've got children who, having never experienced any negative, like it doesn't come from a negative situation, that they just innately are cautious or even fearful of pets. I think the first thing that we need to do as parents and adults is recognise that both extremes exist and that both are kind of legitimate and need to be carefully handled. Naturally, let's start with children who just love pets. And so just a couple of quick things. One is to start to talk to them early about taking care when approaching pets. First thing is to get, if they're out in a park or a situation and they see a pet or, you know, say a dog being walked, another person, is to first ask the owner for permission. And so this is something that I'm going to need to be role modelled by the parent a number of times. Go up and say, would it be okay if we pet your dog? That sort of thing. Second thing is to let them know that, that not all pets are friendly to pets. So it's a hard lesson to learn, but, perhaps they can understand not that there's dogs that are sort of bad or aggressive, but that some dogs are actually afraid. And so we need to be careful as we approach them. Third thing is to teach them how to appropriately love. So, of course, for us, for a four-year-old to come up and grab us around the neck and give us the biggest, strongest cuddle is a lovely thing. But for a dog, you can imagine that could be, you know, pretty intimidating. And likewise, the pulling of the tail is another area. Mm. Those tails, it just looks like it was built to pull. So maybe just getting in a known, friendly neighbourhood dog and practicing some pet patting sessions, I suppose. Things like for them to understand that even though they're only a little four-year-old, coming over the top of a dog can be a very domineering and aggressive thing. So, you know, to get down at their level, to not be patting them on the top of their head, but perhaps be rubbing them on the side of their head. So just working through, teaching them some techniques so that they gain permission, you know, that they can sense what might be an appropriate dog to pat, and then they know exactly how to love them.
They are some really good tips.
Mm-hmm.
Very wise.
Last thing to say is that in a situation where you have a child who is very, very fearful, especially if the parent is a great pet lover, you know, it can be quite a disappointing thing. You know, what you want for your child is for them to experience the same amazing interaction and bond with pets that you've had. And where that isn't happening, best thing is to be very patient, because we know that in the area of fear, certainly, you know, just get over it isn't going to work.
Mm-hmm.
So it's going to be starting with a very sedate pet, you know, a very, maybe just an old Labrador somewhere, and so that the child can get close to them, so it can become comfortable with the fact that, you know, that they can safely approach them and that it actually feels really good to pat and to be close. So I think, you know, patience where there's fear, and some pretty strict guidelines and some good role modelling and teaching where they're just a little bit over the top in the pet loving stakes.
Great stuff. Thank you so much, Dr. Mike.
And, you know, remember, we've got that alpha male. We've got an earmark for you, Aaron. I think he could fit into your household very, very nicely.
I'll discuss it with the management team and get back to you. Overdue for an update with Andrew Fisher, Jesus Racing, because the ute on the last race didn't do so well, and it wasn't Andrew's fault. The engine had some kind of an issue. It's been looked at and all that kind of stuff, and there's a bit of sports chaplaincy chucked in this chat as well, I think, because there's an event coming up. So we better get an update from Andrew Fisher, Jesus Racing, before he hops on a plane to Melbourne. Good morning to you, Andrew.
Good morning, guys. How are you going?
Yeah, well, thank
you. Great. Now, the engine rebuild, I mean, it was pretty dramatic what happened on the track last time, but it's been pretty dramatic what's happened to your car as well.
Very disappointing. Obviously, we rebuilt the engine at the beginning of the year, and something has failed. I think it's actually like a seat that a valve sits in that's failed. It's basically put us down to six cylinders for the last two races of the weekend. So, we're really lucky to get out as well as we did in terms of finishing race one in eighth spot, and then we finished race two in 22nd. So, yeah, look, it's just one of those things. Engine had to be pulled straight out from Perth, flowing across to Brisbane, where they get rebuilt because they control engine supplier over there, and then had to come back to get flown back to Darwin, and then of all things, we're now looking for an airstrip or something up in Darwin to actually run the motor down the track for a little bit just to make sure everything's settled in and okay before we go racing again.
Oh, that would be fun. That's going to be fun.
Oh, yeah, well, it's fun, but it's also a logistical nightmare because we can't actually go on the track. Part of the championship rules is you can't go on the track you're going to race at prior to the event each year. So we can't just rock up to the track and say, oh, can you let us on, and we just want to run the motor in. So we've actually, I think it's about 100 k's out of Darwin, we found an airstrip that a couple of blokes we know, Phil Zagami's from the Bible Society, the Flying Bible Man uses it, and I think Steve Pace does as well, I think, from somebody else has told me. So anyway, we're tracking those guys down, talk to them today, and see if we can get the Jesus Ute to have a spin down the track, down the airstrip.
And you're also lending some support to sports chaplains today. What's happening at Etihad Stadium?
Yeah, we're down there. Sports Chaplaincy Australia, dinner's on tonight. Their main dinner for the year. So they've asked me to come down and have a chat to them. Great lineup of guests they've got coming as well. And, it's a real privilege to go down and give a bit back to those guys that just give so much to sport, all sports, not just motor racing. Obviously, they're very important in motor racing, but just in all sports. And, yeah, look, they're people what I call people of influence. Tonight I'm talking about the fact that our lives are really made up of some of the experiences and influences that we have. And I'm talking a little bit about the experiences that I've been through in life and challenging them a little bit on that, but also talking about the influences that we have in life. And, and Timothy had actually said that to be an overseer or an influencer is a noble task. And so, put a bit of a challenge to the people there tonight about how they support their chaplaincy Australia, sports chaplains in particular tonight, in the job that they do and the importance that it is.
Well, look, all the best with that. It sounds like it'll be fun and definitely worthwhile supporting. And also, all the best for Darwin as well. We look forward to seeing how you go, but chatting to you afterwards as well.
Yeah, look, thanks for that. Yeah, look, we're looking very forward to the lead-up. We've got some great schools coming up in Sydney on the lead up to it as well, so we're pretty excited about that. And so people should always remember, if they want to get us into their local state high school, we're always looking for opportunities. So our website's the best place to go, jesusracing.com.au.
Good on you, Andrew Fisher. All the best.
All right, guys. Thanks again. Cheers.
Breakfast with Aaron and Helen, 5 to 9 weekdays on Hope 103.2.